Today we're going to be the lesson for today. As you can see, there's some notes. As you can follow me there, if you feel. Let's start in word of prayer. Father, Lord, we thank you today for this day. Father, we thank you for a new morning. Your mercies are new every morning, Lord, and for that we thank you. For your kindness, for your love, for each one of us, for those that are not here, we pray for them too. And we pray, Lord, that you teach us, you through your word, through your spirit, lead us and guide us into your will. Help us to be obedient to you and help us to walk according to your will. In Jesus' name we pray, Lord. Amen. So the lesson for today, it's about knowing Jesus Christ. And especially for this lesson, we're going to be talking about a little bit about what's involved in knowing him. Now, this is something that for those that have been in the Lord, in the church, most of us will know what it takes, what is involved in knowing him. But I don't know if you were with me, but we all need to be reminded. We all need to be encouraged in this pursuing and understanding what's involved in knowing Jesus Christ. So today we're going to talk about that a little bit. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13, this is something that Pastor David talked about a little bit a few weeks ago. And he says, until we all come to the unity of the faith, that's what Pastor David's been talking about the last Sunday, about unity in the church. But in that particular verse, talks about in the context, so in Ephesians 4, talks about how, verse 11, how God gives to the church persons, leadership, a particular gift. And in verse 12 and 13, gives it the purpose of those gifts that God gave to the church, to Jesus. And this verse 14 says, unto all come to the unity of the faith, in which that's what Pastor David's been talking about. But today I want to focus on the other part of the verse that it says, and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to a measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So we all need to be reminded that a lot of gift and a lot of things we do in the church is to come to the unity of the faith, but also to the knowledge of the Son of God. I will ask a few of you to help me with some Bible verses. I will ask Jeremy if he can help me with John chapter 10, verse 4, 14 and 27. Jeremy, please. I will ask our brother Greg if he can help me with Matthew 11, 28, 29. And I will ask who else? Somebody that reads for me, John, 1 John 2, 4. Can you read for me 1 John 2, 4, please, man? Thank you. So the first that we need to see on knowing Jesus Christ, what's involved, the first truth that we find, it involves listening to his voice. And that's what we read. Jeremy, please, can you read John 10?
Starting in which verse?
4.
Yep,
and then 14, and then 27.
And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I am known by my own. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me.
So this is something that repeats that John is stated in Jesus' words in John 10 about we being the sheep and Jesus being the shepherd. And something that we, over the years, or something that for different circumstances or just life itself, this is something that we tend to forget over and over. And today we are reminded that knowing Jesus Christ involves listening to his voice. Now, nowadays, there is a lot of misunderstanding about listening to his voice. There is a lot of people in different cultures, in different places, in different churches, in different religions, looking after listening to God's voice. And they tend to teach. There is all kinds of teaching regarding to how you can listen, how you can listen to God's voice. And we as a Christian, even though we have the truth and we have that, and we're in the gospel, and we can be in the right church, we still can be misled in those moments in life when life gets difficult, life gets hard. We tend to wonder, is it God speaking to me? We go to life, we come to church, we might come to worship, to learn, we go home, and we still wonder if it's God is speaking, because we're looking for the deep, for the wrong reasons, for the wrong way that God is going to speak to us. So in this part, we're going to see, first of all, that Christ speak to us through his word. And that's something that we need to be focused and something that we need to be reminded. That we're not going to be waiting for a special voice that's going to come to us. I don't know if you relate to this, but my mom, she's not a believer. And something that my mom tends to believe, especially in the later days that she's been coming to read more the Bible, I give her a Bible so she can read. She's been starting to read a lot of the Bible. And then, but one of the things that my mom struggles through the whole life, through her whole life, since I remember, is that she believes in dreams. And she can freak out about dreams. So every morning, I remember as a little kid, I remember that she will wake up in the morning, and the first thing she will start saying is her dreams. And there will be she won't be brave to say that God is speaking to her like that. But it's a lot of people nowadays, even as a believers, that are still asking God to speak to them in particular ways that God is not going to do it, because he's already speaking to us in a special way. But the way that God speaks to us is a way that we're not pleased, that we're not okay. That sometimes, because you know, it requires attention from our part. So we come after trying to listen to what God has to say to a particular matter in our life, but we're not looking where he's actually talking to us, speaking to us, and we know that Christ speaks through his word. And how he does that? The regular input of God's word help us to sustain a healthy spiritual life. Something that we ought to do regularly, on a regular basis. Today, one of the things that I'm going to be teaching is about one of the subjects that I'm going to be preaching in the afternoon in the Hispanic church is about a family, a godly family. And how does our godly family looks like, or how to reach out to become a godly family? And one of the verses that I'm going to be talking about is the Deuteronomy in that one. Thank you. My wife is here. Yes. And I have a hard time. We come equal. She doesn't know how to say it in Spanish. I don't know how to say it in English, so. It's chapter 6, where God tells to Moses that the fathers ought to repeat to their children the commandments of the Lord. When they get up, when they lay down, when they are in the row, when they sit down, like we see a constant repeating of the commandments of the Lord. So same thing, when we see that, when we are looking to listen to God's voice, we need to understand that Christ speaks through his word to the regular input on God's word that will help us to sustain a healthy spiritual life. Also, not just the regular input, but also the stirring up. And we see that in Proverbs, to guard the word of God, to guard in our heart, to be reminded and to be stirring up, to be able to remember. There are things that we are tend to remember pretty quickly, or there are things that we tend to deal with in a different way. I'm glad when my kids are able to memorize the Old Testament. And then for me as a parent, for me it's a gladly rejoicing moment when I can see my little son James quoting the Old Testament and the books. He can remember those. And that's encouraged for me because by doing that, he can storage in his heart and in those moments when he actually needs to be reminded. And also, not just the regular input but in the story now, but also the comfort of God's word that gives us hope, Romans 15:4. So that one of the ways that God has spoke to us and is still speaking to us is through his word. But also another way that God speaks to us and that we can be able to listen to his voice, and something that we're not so like-minded or we're not so likely to like it, to do it that way. And sometimes we can have a hard time listening to God's voice, and that is when Christ speaks through the counsel of other believers. And that's a question for us, if we're listening to him. Once again, Ephesians chapter 4 encourages and teaches, Pastor David thought about how Jesus gives gift to the church in some particular ways, but also teaches not just the gift that he gives, but it gives us the reason. And the reason is for the unity to all become, to all, unto all, we all come to the unity of the faith, but also so we can come to the knowledge of his son Jesus. So Christ speaks to us through the counsel, and that's one of the reasons also why we should be coming to church and we should be gathered together as a believers, because we need to understand that that's a way that God also can talk to us in a particular manner. Christ speaks to us through the counsel of other believers, and we can understand that God gives us spiritual leaders who equipped us and edified us, Ephesians 4:11-12, but also that God gives us brothers in the Lord who are able to admonish us, Romans 15:14. So one of the ways that we can be sure that God is going to speak to us, number one, is through his word, and we need to come on a regular basis to his word. We need to be storing up God's word, but we need to be comforted on God's promising in his word. But also we need to be okay, and this is where it gets a little complicated for us, because there are situations in our life that we need to be admonished, that we need to seek counsel. And that's the most difficult things, especially, and this is where it gets harder, when you become older in the faith. When you are a first believer, I don't know you, but when I first came to Christ, I would seek, I would ask, even things that I probably knew the answer, but it felt so good to us. Now I have a hard time. Now as we grow old and we know more about the Bible, you would think that, you know, I have a direct wisdom from God, but even though we still need the counsel of other believers. And like I say, this is where it can get harder for those that have been in the faith. And it gets harder for me, a person who's barely for some of you, but for me it's a lot now, 36 years old, to give a counsel of a person that is double my age. It gets difficult because that person has more experience in different ways, but it's still God allows us through his word and his spirit to be able to counsel other people. And how he does that? He does giving us leaders in the church that we are to give respect, but also that look forward. And this puts in a different positions. He puts in a special place the leaders. If you're a leader of the church, he puts you in a special place, a life to be an example, a life to be open, lead by example in a church congregation that is looking after that counsel and understands that God has put persons, people, leaders in the church, so we can seek for that kind of counsel. And also, not just to look for being edified, but there will be moments in our life that we have to be admonished, rebuked. There will be moments in our life that we're going to have to, that we're definitely going to need an advice or in a different perspective or something, that behavior that we are having, a situation that we're getting involved. And that's why God speaks to us, to his word and to the counsel of other believers. So that's number one. That's what it takes to know Jesus Christ. What is involved in knowing him involves listening to his voice, but also Knowing Jesus Christ involves following his examples. Brother Greg, can you please read Matthew 11:28-29?
Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls.
Amen. Interesting. It makes me think when I'm working with my boys and the work that I'm doing, I'm trying to be patient and kind. I've been doing some work lately, the last few months, with my boys. And there's moments that I do want them to learn to me how to do it. But, you know, I don't give this invitation to them. I long for my sons to do better than I do. And I long for them to learn from my example, to learn the way that I do it, so they can do the same even better. But this last part of the verse where he says, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. That question me character when I'm getting stressed at work, especially if it's the cold weather here in Minnesota, like Wisconsin, or the heat. It questioned if I I'm the kind of father that gives the invitation to my son. I want them to learn from me, and I want to see them my example, but at the end, I wonder if I have that right attitude to tell them, see, you can learn from me. I'm patient with you. I'm teaching you with you. Same thing when it comes to the driving part. How many of you who learn to drive with your parents, and we're not kind, and we're not patient. He tells you, you know, there's that the words that, you know, do as I said. But we don't come with that kind of following character that God chose us. Knowing Jesus Christ involves following his examples. And he gives us the special part that we can do this, understanding and knowing and trusting that he's gentle and kind, that he's loving, and that he wants this for the rest of our souls. We're encouraged to learn from Christ. We're encouraged to follow his example. That's what Christ said, that he was our example, John 13:14. John, the Apostle John, wrote that Christ, he was our example, and 1 John 2:6. But also Paul wrote that Christ was our example to follow. Our goal as a Christian in this life is to become conformed, is to be like Christ in his image. Our goal as in this life is to become conformed to the image of Christ, to the process of progressive sanctification. Following his example requires work on our part, requires to put ourselves as in a second place. And that's what it becomes difficult for many of us, not just to seek counsel, but the same situation becomes to us. As the years go by, and as my knowledge of the Word of God, as the years go by, and my involvement in Christian life, Bible studies, Sunday mornings, Sunday nights, and years go by and life gets harder, it's becoming difficult not just to seek counsel for others, as we learned before, but also to follow his example. You would think it should be more easy. You would think for us, after 10 years, after 20 years of being a Christians and having the understanding and the knowledge of Christ, you would think that we will be walking and people just point out and say, I know you are a believer. I know you. You must go to church. You must be a son of God. We're still struggling with that kind of mindset, with that kind of testimony sometimes. And why is that? Because we're still struggling to understanding that coming to Christ, coming to the knowledge of Christ, it requires, involves for us to be in the second, in the third, in the last place. That coming to Christ involves giving everything that I have, and understanding that what I have is not good at all. That I can come to Christ and I can give. And this is something really special for those for us who remember when we first came to Christ, and all the bad behavior, and all the bad attitudes, and all the bad stuff that we were doing back then. It was kind of easy because it was exciting. One of the things that I did struggle with when I came to Christ was reading the Bible. That was hard for me. And then you add up everything else, go to church, changing the behavior, changing some words, stop seeing ungodly things or doing ungodly things. But when I came to Christ and these whole new changes start coming up in my life, I was excited. And you can see when you see a new believer walk into the church, you can kind of tell somebody who's just got saved, the way that leaves the church, that person lives pretty happy. And the next Sunday when the person comes to church, that person comes really happy. Us, probably not so much. We hear the message. We understand the message. Maybe the person that just got saved didn't understand the whole message. Maybe just grabbed the good stuff. But we that grabbed the whole message, maybe we're not going to walk out of the church so encouraged. Maybe we're not going to come to church so encouraged, so excited about church. And maybe that's why, because we still battling on following his example, on going after Christ and becoming conformed to the image of Christ in our life. So there's a question for us if we are learning, if we are following Christ's example in our life. And if, like I said at the very beginning of this verse, if we are the kind of person that we are gentle, that we are kind, that we are loving, especially for those that are surrounding us. Knowing Christ involves listening to his voice. Number one. Number two, knowing Christ involves following his example. And number three, knowing Christ involves obeying his commandments. Brother, please.
He who says, "I know him," and does not keep his commandment is a liar, and the truth is not in him.
Something that we are to understand is that knowing Christ involves not just the singing, not just the smiling, not just the carrying up a Bible. It doesn't involve just dressing up to church. It involves way more than that. It involves to be on our guard, listen to his voice, following his example, but also obeying his commandments, obeying what he wants us for our life. And like John 2:4 says, he who says, "I know him," and this is goes directly to us. This is us, and John is writing to the church, to those believers who were claiming to know Christ. There were many believers at the time when John wrote this epistle. Many people were claiming, just like today, there are so many people in and outside churches claiming, "Oh, yes, I know. Hey, can I talk to you about Jesus?" "Oh, no, don't. I know Jesus. I grew up with Jesus." We see so many people in sports, in movie, and in life, and at work, at school, anywhere. People know, people claim to know Jesus, and that's what John is saying. He who says, "I know him." And this could be, like I said, this could be us claiming that we know him. This is our neighbors. This is our family member. I have people in my family that they claim with their guts, with the deep sense of their heart, that they know Jesus. When I talk to my relatives who are unsaved, they if you talk to them, you they will have this passion that they know Jesus. But once you open the Bible and they start talking about the Jesus of the Bible, that's not the Jesus that they know. And it becomes so real. As those people that Paul comforts in, I believe it's in Thessalonians. I have a problem with the word now, knowing that that's what it is. Where Paul walks to the Thessalonians town and see all kinds of altars for different gods, for different deities. So Paul is going to witness to them, and he points to the one particular altar that they have. He says, to the unknown God. So there was a God that they still didn't know, and that's the God, the one that they don't know, the main God, the only God that Paul is going to refer to them. So that I see with my family, they think they worship God, they think they know God. Many in my family, you talk about Jesus, they know Jesus. That was born how do you say that in English? Sorry, in the manger. Yep, thank you. They know the story of Jesus. They know some miracles of Jesus, but they don't know the saving power of Jesus. So they know the good stuff, sorta, but they don't know the main real stuff of Jesus. So that's what Paul, that's what John says. He who says, I know him, but does not keep his commandment, he's a liar. And that's something that we need to understand this morning. For us as a Christians, and for anybody here who is, might not have a personal relationship with Christ, we need to be reminded, we need to be encouraged that knowing Christ involves obeying his commandments. We show that we love Jesus when we keep his commandment. That's what John 14:15 says. That we show our love for Jesus when we're obedient. That's one of the ways. And John refers to that too. Not just not be a liar, but not to love God in the way that he requires. Also, we show that we are fulfilling the Great Commission when we teach others to observe his commandment. That's what the Great Commission involves also. There is a way that we show God our love, and that's when we keep his commandments. And there is a way that we fulfill the Great Commission when we teach others. So it's not just a matter of getting up and go to another country that I can fulfill the Great Commission. It's when in our home, in our walls of the church, outside of church, at work, at school, anywhere in life that we are fulfilling, we can be fulfilling that Great Commission when we teach others to observe his commandments. And the question for us this morning is, do we know Christ? Do we know Jesus Christ of the Bible? Or is it a different Jesus Christ that we know? Is anyone here this morning that is like my family, my mom, that she claims to know Jesus? She claims to understand what Jesus is and has done. But when the Bible opens up and you start reading, that's not the Jesus that I know. That's not the Jesus that I understand. Are we there like her this morning that the Jesus that we know is the Jesus of the Bible? That's a question for us also. I will listen to his voice. And which way are we looking forward to listen to his voice? And also, are we following his example? And which ways we can be encouraged to follow his examples? Today we learned that he's gentle and lowly in heart. Well, that's a message for us this morning. For us to be gentle, for us to be kind, and to live a life that is conformed to what God is doing in our life. And the last question is, are we obeying his commandments? Are we obedience for what God is calling us to be, for what God is calling us to do? So I hope this morning, these words encourage you, as it says, encourage for me to know Christ, to listen to his voice, to follow his example, and to every morning to obey his commandments. Amen. Let's pray in word. Father, today I thank you for this moment that you allow me to be with my brothers and sisters. Father, it's a special need every day. We need to be reminded. We need to be exhorted to follow, to listen to your voice, to follow your son's example, and Father, to obey your commandments. Father, today we ask you for this morning, for the worship and the gathering of all believers. We pray that you keep us safe, and Lord, that you help us to be conformed to the image of your son, Jesus. I thank you, Lord, for this privilege. Thank you for each one of us and for those that are not here. In Jesus' name we pray, Lord. Amen. A little early, but you are dismissed.
Thanks for teaching, Renee.
Yes, thank you.
I was going to give a question, but I didn't.
You're going to give a question time?
I was going to give a question time, but no.
What an opening.
I can ask any question. I can answer all the questions after.
You mentioned yeah. that you have relatives,
yes.
acquaintances, and so on that are religious.
Yes.
But they don't really know Christ.
Yes.
I'm assuming that most of those would be in Catholicism.
Yes, all of them.
Okay. So, do you think it's harder to witness to somebody who is religious in that way versus somebody who has no concept or what I would call God consciousness at all? Which is more difficult to witness to, do you think?
For me, it has become, I had no people that had no religious background at all, and it has become more easy. But the religious people of my family, especially our culture, talking with neighbors and things like that, it's a lot more difficult because this is something that they grew up for generations and generations. And the Catholic Church has done, especially in third world countries, is so different like in the U.S. A Catholic person that comes to the U.S. is so easy to reach. That's something that is good for you to know. A Catholic person that comes from anywhere from Mexico to Argentina, doesn't matter their background religious, is so easy to witness in the U.S. because their religious life is taken away from the U.S. And El Salvador, for Easter time, for the whole week, in our towns, in our country, they close the streets. Literally, you cannot drive on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. They close the streets because the whole town comes together for the crucifixion process for weeks. So they do that for 40 days before the crucifixion takes place. They keep so the government, the culture, everything plays out for them. So in my family, it's really difficult because they're not just as a Hispanic, we are really family emotionally tied up. So I do not want to do something that is going to hurt my mom, my grandma, my aunt that I grew up with. So believing in Christ of the Bible means rejecting not just my belief, but reject my family. So that's why they have a hard time. My mom, at the end, that's what she comes down with. Her mom, her friends, and the circle of people that she loves too. So, but the neat part and what I rejoice is right now for my family, that they are living in a town where I was the pastor. And then, and obviously a lot of people don't even know my name there, just know me by pastor. So she's known by the pastor's mom. So she's been, you know, asked over and over, are you going to church? So she's getting a little tired of people asking her about going to church that she might go. So yes, it's more easy to witness to them for in some area that religious people are more difficult in those countries. Yes. Other question? Another thing too, adding into that would be, it's more easy to witness where their background it is in the cities. And you can talk with people from different countries. I was talking on Sunday with somebody from Mexico, and it's so easy to talk to them. And Mexico is a huge Catholic country, huge. That's where Mary appeared. They have a temple just for Mary. So Mexico is the biggest. That's the main center of Catholicism for the Hispanic-speaking countries. So by talking with people from Mexico, you will understand that in the city, Mexico City, the main cities, is more open and more easy because people have left already some of the religious, you know, belief. But in the small towns, there's more. As of right now, you can still be persecuted, even in Mexico, for not believing because they're more into their culture, into their more religious belief. Any other question? Yes, I think there's coffee, I believe. I don't know. Thank you.